Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Lacker is brought to you by Russell and Smith Ford.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Uh-oh.
Guess what?
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Lacker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
Exposed or pissed off? That is the question. Landry Lacker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. On a hunt day, Green Bay is coming to town. The Green Bay Packers, before the season, we thought they might be in trouble. Four games into the season, people were talking about them being a contender. And then we just saw them get smacked around on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My question is this, John Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Is Green Bay pissed off and very good? Or have they been exposed as closer to what we thought they were as they head into NRG Sunday as a 3.5-point favorite against those 1-5 Houston Texans?
I think I would lean more toward the former there. The first thing you said, I think they're maybe not very good, but they are upper tier in the NFL, and they had a bad day. You know, they had a really bad day, and maybe some things were exposed. But this is a good team. I mean, this is a team that can cause and has caused a lot of trouble for several teams already. Are they going to be a Super Bowl contender? That's to be determined because who knows with the NFC. But not of the same ilk of Kansas City and Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
D'Angelo Hall of the NFL Network, he seems to think that the Green Bay Packers are an overrated football team and that what happened on Sunday in which the Tampa Bay Bucs roughed them up by four possessions was a sign of our initial thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that the first 4 weeks of the season in which the Packers beat teams that were a combined 7-15, the Packers are somewhere in the middle. This was D'Angelo Hall on NFL Network talking about that very thing.
Yeah, the Packers overrated. Let's be real here. You know, I thought about that even last year. You know, every time I thought the Packers were right there to show me that they were a great football team, you know, even going back to last year. And then the Packers go out there and they lay that kind of egg. Unacceptable.
I think the Packers are a good team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting
right here
saying they're trash. But I'm just saying that in a sport of overreacting, in a sport of week to week, I think the Packers are somewhere in between the team that we thought was going to be one of the biggest busts in the league and the Super Bowl team that everyone was touting. And furthermore, I think based on what we've seen from the Texans the last 2 weeks, I don't think you can judge them the first 4 weeks of the King Bill era.
Mm-hmm.
This offense right now, based on what they've averaged the last 2 weeks, could I interest you in some stats?
Please.
They're averaging 33 points per game, which would be second in the NFL in season average. And they're averaging 449 yards per game, which would be second in the NFL.
Numbers are hot.
So this offense, the last 2 weeks without King Bill,
mm-hmm,
in which they've scored 30 points in back-to-back games, would be second in the NFL, just behind Seattle in points per game and yards per game. So I don't think we can judge the Texans based on the complete body of work, maybe defensively, but I think offensively, if you just look at what we've seen the last 2 weeks, this team can go toe-to-toe with anyone. And you also got to keep in mind the Packers, while Devontae Adams is a very good receiver, beneath him, they don't really have a lot of guys that can do much damage to you.
They don't. And let me talk about the Packers first before I get to your second point there, because what stood out with that audio that we played is I've seen the exact opposite, too. He said every time you think they're good, they lay an egg. What happens every time you think the Packers are done? They come right back and they just destroy people. The most famous, you know, episode was it 2016, whatever it was, you know, relax. They started out so bad, and Aaron Rodgers had that famous press conference. But even beyond that, before that, then and after that, every time you think, all right, well, the Packers, it's just Aaron Rodgers, you know, they're kind of spinning their wheels, they're not that good. Then they come out and beat Seattle. You know, then they come out and get to the NFC Championship game. So it works both ways with them. Now, on your second point, it's funny how that works out, man. I mean, it's almost like perfect scenario of what we were hoping would happen when Bill O'Brien left. Tim Kelly, hey now, nobody's looking over my shoulder. Hey now, nobody's talking to my quarterback other than me. And I can maybe, as I've said multiple times, even before the season, maybe go to some pages that Bill O'Brien didn't favor that I do in the playbook. So, yeah, both those things kind of point to a shootout.
They are facing the cockiest SOB I've ever seen
really
in my
are.
Life.
I love it.
And I actually really do respect it and admire it. Aaron Rodgers, this was him on the Pat McAfee show a couple weeks ago talking about people basically counting him out.
On the field, the narrative about you last year was that you're washed up, like this guy can't play football anymore. Did you hear that stuff? I would assume you did. You have to in the world that we're in. And do you think being a second year in your offense that you're currently in with the floor is a massive advantage to maybe what was happening last
year? I mean, I don't know. Every team is different. Every year is different. And it does help being a second year, for sure. I feel a lot more comfortable. But, you know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks.
Ah! Ah! Yes! That was awesome!
Hey, wow. It's just the facts, bro.
It's just the facts, bro. That's what he says.
I mean, he's not wrong.
This is a game where I'm – sometimes my dad, like whenever a certain player, like when my dad would take me to games, there'd be, you know, like Mark McGwire's coming to town, so you want to go watch batting practice. Mm-hmm. Or he used to like to watch like Jeff George throw the football because you want to watch him warm
80
up.
Yards.
If you're going to the game on Sunday, you might just want to get there early enough, maybe an hour or so, to where you can watch Aaron Rodgers warm up, because it's one of the most effortless things you can watch. I've watched it a couple of times, and I'm just telling you, all NFL players have arms, but it just looks a lot different with Aaron Rodgers. So if you are going out to NRG, you need to watch. You need to go watch Aaron Rodgers warm up, because it is a joy. There aren't very many in the history of the game that can fling the ball like this.
He's one of those guys that it's almost like a really, really smooth, effortless running back. Who would be a good candidate for that? Maybe Eric Dickerson, you know, back in the day. Just a really smooth runner that just Arian Foster is a great example. You know, he would take two strides and he's 9 yards down the field, and just smooth, like effortless. That's what Aaron Rodgers does with a football. You know, you see him just throw a football in warmups too. You're right about that. You know, you see him throw a football and you're like, man, how, you know, most guys really have to plant and heave and turn their shoulders and hips and all this quarterback stuff that you hear in camps. He just kind of goes, whoop, and it just goes, you know, exactly where he wants to. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
And you also got to wonder, as much as I can say, you know, have the Packers been exposed? Are they somewhere in between the team that was widely regarded as one of the biggest disappointments and then the team that a quarter into the season was regarded as, you know, a Super Bowl contender? You also got to wonder if getting their ass kicked on Sunday is either them getting exposed or it's bad news for the Houston Texans because they're going to be motivated. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show said that he actually thinks them getting their ass kicked on Sunday could be a good thing for them moving forward, starting with the Texans on Sunday.
I mean, I think we all need that a little bit. When the complacency starts to sink in and you start kind of feeling yourself a little bit, it's always good to kind of get knocked down a little bit. And look, it happened. You know, we came into the season, not an unknown, but not many people talking about us, even though we were 13-3 in an NFC Championship. Then we win four games, pretty convincingly. People are like, they're the best team in the NFL. And I think it can be a good thing. I'm not saying, look, nobody wants to lose to, you know, figure things out. But you also can find ways to positively move forward from difficult situations. We got our butts kicked. You know, I think it's something that we can learn from.
And that's really what it comes down to. Do you think that the Packers are going to be an angry team, or do you think Tampa Bay laid out some sort of blueprint? Now, I will say Tampa Bay has one of the most underrated defenses in the league.
Not anymore.
So don't expect the Texans to, you know, get the job done like the Tampa Bay Bucs did. But I will say, even with how good the Packers have been at 4-1, this offense is not as good as the Tennessee offense that we saw last week. It's not as good as the Baltimore offense. It's not as good as the Kansas City offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are 14th in the NFL in yards per game, and they are 20th in points per game at 27.8. So it's a good offense, but it's not one of the top three offenses you have seen. So you can maybe hang your hat on that. I'm starting to think that maybe the Texans, I think they do have a chance here. And the reason that I think so is because I think that I don't think Aaron Jones is as good as Derrick Henry, and I don't think that their receivers are as good as the receivers they faced against Tennessee. Now, Devontae Adams is good, but yeah. I think Bradley Roby's playing at a high enough level to where you can put him on one guy, and he might not be able to shut him down, but he can keep him in check. And then the Texans' corners, which are not very good, they're going to be facing the Valdez-Scantlings, those types of guys. Yep. So it's not like you're facing just some world beaters at receiver with a pack. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a turning point of the season for the Texans, for the better or worse, to where either you start believing in yourself and believing maybe you can salvage the season, or you strongly consider, 1 week away from the trade deadline, you strongly consider shipping some guys out.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is, and we'll get more into that. But as far as the game itself, I fully expect the Texans' offense to continue to click, but the Texans' defense to continue to just, you know, be a sieve.
It's there.
Yeah, and just be an absolute sieve. So Aaron Rodgers, I'm not really worried about, Devontae Adams. I mean, he's going to get his, and Bradley Roby's going to have some moments as well. But all these other no-names in the Texans, in the Packers' depth chart, that's where I think the trouble's going to come. You know, I think these tight ends you don't really know, these other receivers, you know, that you don't really know are going to be where he, you know, where he makes hay.
Other thing that I got to get off my chest before we get into a trade the Texans made that it looks like they've already lost. I'm not saying they didn't get a good player, but it looks like they've already lost. We'll talk about that in a sec. But before we do, with Green Bay coming to town, what is Wisconsin known for?
Cheese, baby.
Why? Why is cheese – how do you have such good cheese? Honestly, like, it's one thing to go to a steakhouse where you got nice steak, but cheese can only be so good. Let's be honest. Like, you have deli cheese at HEB, which is just as good as this expensive – actually, it might be better than this expensive-ass cheese that all these people talk about. Cheese is for snobs who just want to put their nose up and drink buttery Chardonnays. Cheese is cheese.
What are you saying?
Cheese is cheese. There's not that much of a gap between expensive cheese and the cheese that you get at HEB, John. And I know that this is offending you because you like these expensive-ass aged cheese that tastes like freaking plastic, but there's not that much of a difference between the normal cheese and the high-grade cheese.
I actually feel sorry for you. You're a rube sometimes when it comes to some foods. Cheese, you came to the right place, by the way.
I knew that.
Love cheeses. All kinds of manchego, halloumi, obviously the old school standbys, the cheddars and Swisses. The better quality cheese is like a fine wine.
It's like paste.
It's like a fine wine.
It tastes like paste.
You can taste the difference between a good cheese and cheese.
It tastes like
100%.
Paste,
it's like Mad Dog 2020 and a good buttery Chardonnay.
No.
Bad and bougie.
No.
No, it's not bad and bougie. It's not anything like that. It's
charcuterie boards or whatever the hell people are eating.
Charcuterie boards.
Whatever. I mean, come
on. Like getting a good Gouda.
Just give me a knife and let me go to HEB and get the top of the line cheese. It's better than any of these fancy ass restaurants. Cheese.
I could bring
What makes Wisconsin cheese so good?
Now, that's a good question because cheese is basically cheese. I have a theory.
Wait, say that again?
No, I'm saying like in terms
what?
Of different areas can make cheese.
What?
Different areas can make cheese. So why is Wisconsin known for it? I do have a theory, and our dairy experts, because we have experts in everything, who are loopholes, 713-572-4610, feel free to text in. I have a theory. This is my theory, okay? Two things. The cooler climate for the cows, more weight, less exercise, they lose fewer calories, makes for better steak. It would figure that it makes for better cheese. That's part one on why Wisconsin has better cheese.
All right, part two?
Part two.
0866 on the text line, by the way, says, get ready for one time in Spain, Lopez cheese story.
Can't think of any. Maybe. I'll get back to you on that. Second part, it's become their thing. So they're elevating each other's game. You know what I mean? It's like Wisconsin kind of got known for cheese. So like this farmer and then this farmer and all these other scientists and, dairy experts came in and started elevating each other's game. So it's a cooler climate, and it's the elevated game.
Okay. I mean,
I could bring in a good halloumi cheese for you.
You can sit there and break it down. Cheese is cheese for the most part. 713-572-4610. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
John Lopez. It's Tyler Rick, man. How you doing?
My man.
What's going on with you?
You always call in after a win.
Call in for a loss, too.
Okay, I know.
Don't bother me.
Yeah.
I'm calling in because I'm hearing y'all keep, most of the Texans fans, keep talking about the missed two-point conversion. I mean, y'all had everything happen for you that you had to have happen for you to have an iota of a chance.
Well, they did it.
He's going to have to change that phone.
Yeah, that's
service.
A bad
that
signal.
Bad,
apologize.
It wasn't really on topic either. We thought you wanted to talk about cheese. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Miami or Houston? The Miami Dolphins or the Houston Texans? Who would you rather be? I think the bad Tunsil trade is the biggest hurdle the Texans have to overcome moving forward. We'll see if J-Lo agrees next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans are 1-5 heading into a game with the Green Bay Packers. Miami Dolphins 3-3, and they're changing quarterbacks. They're not only trying to win now and get into the playoffs, They have the Texans' first-round pick. They have the Texans' second-round pick next year. And they are playing checkers and chess at the same time. We're wondering what the Texans should do. The Dolphins basically have two game boards, checkers for the immediate future, and then they're playing chess, getting a look at Tua.
Yeah.
While the Texans' draft pick looks pretty good for them. We know the trade, Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills in exchange for two firsts and a second. I always thought it was a bad trade. Mm-hmm. I think that
you did.
Right,
I'll
now,
give you credit.
Based on what we're seeing, I think Miami is reaping the benefits of that trade, and the Texans are fighting an uphill battle because of the move. Do you think that based on what we're seeing right now that the Miami Dolphins won the Laremy Tunsil deal?
Whew, man, that is a loaded, loaded, loaded question. I would make the deal again. You know, we talk about who's untouchable on this team. Deshaun Watson, to me, is basically the only guy. If you get another one and a two for Tunsil, go ahead and trade him because you're resetting anyway. You know, trade him for what you sent away. That said, I think I would, if I had to keep either Laremy Tunsil or J.J. Watt, I'd keep Laremy Tunsil. And the reason is Deshaun Watson. So it's a very loaded question, very good question. But the answer, and I don't want to hedge here, is I would rather be Miami. I think Miami won that trade for the sake of the franchise. For the sake of Deshaun Watson, the Texans had to do it. They had to do it.
This isn't a question about whether or not Laremy Tunsil's good, because he's freaking awesome.
He's real good.
He's one of the best left tackles in football. So that's not really the question. The reality is you traded about as much as Miami could have gotten for him, even though he was awesome.
You traded
two firsts
more than
a second. You threw in the second for Kenny Stills. First of all, you threw in a second for Kenny Stills, and you haven't even used him. Mm-hmm. So that was a waste right there. That right there, I think, is a negative for the Texans. Second of all, and this is why I wasn't in favor of the Tunsil trade, because you traded two firsts and a second, and because you spent all this money on Laremy Tunsil, making him the highest paid left tackle in the league, now all of a sudden your cap space is less than it would be had you tried to take on something cheaper or maybe develop a player. And I don't believe, and I said this when O'Brien made the move, King Bill, I don't believe in teams with bad coaches and bad systems making win-now moves.
Yeah.
Because when you make a win-now move, you're trying to win now. Mm-hmm. But if you have a coach who's not going to have a play on fourth down in Kansas City, who's going to fake a punt with Justin Reed, who's going to neuter the quarterback, then a win-now move is counterproductive mm-hmm. because you're preventing yourself from getting players that are bargains in the draft, first-round picks and second-round picks, and you're not really – you don't have a high enough ceiling to justify making such moves. So it's not about Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
It's about who the coach was that made that move, and that's why I think that this is the trade that has the Texans the job, despite having Deshaun Watson, the job is not as appealing for the next general manager and coach because basically you have a one-year gap mm-hmm. in which it's going to be harder to build your defense and – you're not reaching the point that many people make or many teams make when they're trying to make those win-now moves.
I think the only answer for the Texans right now is to, you know, the first, the old 12-step program thing, the first step is to admit that you have a problem. And I think that's what the Texans need to do, the next general manager, the next head coach, whatever it is. They need to admit, we need to be more like Miami. We have our franchise quarterback. He's entering his prime. He's awesome, but we still need to take a step back and start accumulating draft picks and be more like Miami. That means trading J.J. Watt. That means, you know, cutting salary, you know, Brandon Dunn and, you know, whomever else, Randall Cobb. I mean, just get these, you know, get rid of some guys. Because if you start getting on that gerbil wheel, then you're going to have Deshaun Watson and an average to above average team that can't win at all for years. So that's what makes this such an interesting question, because if you look at what the Miami Dolphins have done, they've responded in basically a year and a half, not even a year and a half, Landry. They recognized they had a problem. They were awful, you know, and they had Tannehill. I mean, okay, you know, that wasn't going to get you anywhere.
Not with Adam Gase as the coach.
With Adam Gase as the coach and with that supporting cast. You know, Ryan Tannehill is a cautionary tale for the Texans and Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's more talented, but Ryan Tannehill, we see what he can do when he's got the right cast around him. So what did the Dolphins do? This is just in the first three rounds of last year's draft. These are premium draft picks. I always say that first three rounds to me, I consider either immediate or very soon starters. Tua in the first round. They got two offensive linemen, Robert Hunt and offensive linemen.
They've rebuilt that offensive line
very well. Austin Jackson and Robert Hunt. Two guys in the secondary, Brandon Jones from Texas, the safety, and Igbinoe, N.A., from the cornerback from Auburn, and a defensive tackle. They got six legitimate future starters in this year draft because they recognized they had a problem and they went after it. This coming draft, they have five more picks in the first three rounds, including two firsts, one from the Texans, two seconds, one from the Texans, and then a third. This is going to be – I would much rather be the Miami Dolphins right now than the Houston Texans. I mean, I cheer for the Texans. I want the Texans to win. But in terms of recognizing you have a problem and taking that step back, that's the template that the Texans need to follow.
They decided to rebuild. They also traded
Minka, and it doesn't take that
they
long.
They also traded Minka Fitzpatrick to the Steelers.
Right.
And they're stockpiling picks there. And because they don't have to pay Minka Fitzpatrick and they don't have to pay Laremy Tunsil, they could basically rebuild their defense this year and bring in Byron Jones from the Cowboys – Shaq Lawson and Emmanuel mm-hmm. Ogba, as well as Kyle Van Noy. That's what they've done, and that's what they're able to do because they didn't do what the Texans did. And, oh, by the way, while they're doing that,
mm-hmm.
they're two games better than the Texans.
They're in the playoff hunt.
It's loud and clear right now. The Tunsil trade could have
they're
the
running Tua
handcuffed.
Out there.
Yep, they are.
They're franchise quarterback.
They're getting a look. They're getting a look at 2021, and they're mm-hmm. still trying to win in 2020. So it's not this juggling act of what you do with the Texans. Right now it looks like the Miami Dolphins – are benefiting from the Laremy Tunsil trade. Coming up, the drunk quarterback, the frozen back, and rack.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus.
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
We don't have a lot of confidence in the Texans' defense to slow down Aaron Rodgers. That's the reality of the situation. You can be as optimistic as possible, but you don't have confidence in this raggedy ace D. But could alcohol be what helps slow down Aaron Rodgers? Apparently, after that butt whooping at the hands of the Tampa Bay Bucks, Aaron Rodgers drank a little more than usual.
Good for
him. Could scotch, not the Texans defense, help slow down number 12 on Sunday?
A finger is just what? Just one finger this way or this way?
Yeah, like this, bro, or this.
So what do you normally do, three?
Yeah, I mean, like two or three is pretty good.
So did you do four on Sunday? You did a full f***ing glass?
Bro, we got home way too late, man. It was a long night. We didn't get home. I didn't get home till like 11:40. By that time, I was ready for bed, so.
Look at how much scotch that is. Is that what you did?
Jeez.
It's not that much.
That's four fingers, dude. You said you normally do three. That's four right there.
But you have those fat sausages.
I am Irish, by the way. I do have fat fingers. I mean,
maybe scotch.
See, I told you. I told you yesterday. This is a common thing, man.
Four fingers is not a common thing.
It's a very common thing.
You go up to the bar.
And you say, give me three fingers of scotch.
There is no way you do that.
Unless
you
it's an old-ass bar.
You go up to the bar and you say, I want a double. Or you say, I want a scotch on the rocks. You don't say three fingers, John.
No.
This is like your cheese opinion. This snooty,
it is
fake
not.
World you're living in. You do not say, I want four fingers of scotch. Who says that?
That 23-year-old going to go in the back and say, what the hell is four fingers of scotch?
No. Let's call a bartender. I know a bartender.
Call him.
It's a her.
Call her.
How old is she?
I think 26. No, 28.
That's
29.
Also awkward. Going up to a girl at a bar and saying, let me get four fingers. Come on, man.
By the end of this segment, I will have a bartender on, and I'm just going to say, hey, can we call you?
Okay.
I'm not going to say what it's about.
Okay.
I'm not going to tease anything.
Okay.
All right.
We'll ask her.
All right.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers will have four fingers of scotch on Sunday, and it'll slow down the Texans. Mm-hmm. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We got some loopholes on the text line. Bartender here, 32 years old. Call in 713-572-4610. Bartenders, help us out. We need to know this because I know this four fingers thing isn't real, but I know everyone's going to take J-Lo's side and say that it is. I've never seen it in my life. I've been to many a bars. Anyway, going to a bar on Friday, by the way, at 3 on behalf of the station. Presley's in the Heights.
Oh, really?
Can't tell you to go there, but I'm going to be there 3 to 5.
You can't say it.
I can't say don't.
I can. Let's all go to Presley's at 3 o'clock
Presley's,
on Friday.
3 to 5. Happy hour. Here we go. They got gumbo too, Figgy.
You might see my my daughter there. I think she's been there a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah.
How's that wedding planning coming?
You know what? Not to derail here, but
Hold on just a sec on this damn text line. 5640. Shout out to the loopholes if you listen to our loophole. Landry, have you never heard this four fingers thing? Are you 12? Get the hell out of here. Ain't nobody heard of this four fingers thing, even you. You don't go order four fingers of scotch.
Yes,
you do. You say a scotch on the rocks. You say a scotch. And, you are not ordering four fingers of scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Good gosh, John. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, real quick. I feel bad for my daughter. She got engaged, what? It's been a couple of months now. I don't even know. Several months.
Is she a bridezilla?
No, it's the exact opposite.
No way.
No, because there's you can't plan anything because of COVID. You don't know, is it going to be 300 people like is on her list?
Well, it's
or is it
let's
going
be honest, based on the demographics, it's going to be 300 people.
Well, of course. Absolutely. We're going to have mariachis. We're going to have polkas. We're going to have, but we don't know if we're going to be able to do that. 50 people or 300. So she can't really plan a whole lot. Like she hasn't done, all I've done is, you know, photographer and stuff like that. So it's hard to say.
6469 says, not a race card, but the fingers is a Hispanic thing.
It is not.
I think it's the most white thing ever.
It is. Frank Sinatra was talking about
fingers. Let's go to Taiwan. Don't sit here and lie to me and say you know about these fingers, man.
Yeah, man. People say it in Fayetteville, Arkansas, man. I've heard it before. Let me get four fingers. It's pretty much just a measurement of how much whiskey they want in the glass.
Yep. There you go. Thank you.
Fayetteville, Arkansas. Does that count?
maybe not.
Gosh, that's the tiebreaker. Well, in Fayetteville.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else do they do in Fayetteville? 713-572. I'm just kidding, Fayetteville. I love you very much. Even though you wouldn't fill up my dad's gas when he went to watch UT play Arkansas back in the Southwest Conference days, and he had to basically stop someone
really?
To get some gas, slime balls.
You got that orange sticker on the back, man.
The Texas license plate was all it took.
Yeah.
But I'm not bitter about it.
Yeah.
Four fingers, 713-572-4610. I am 43 and I'm familiar with the term four fingers. That's Oscar and Tomball, one of our favorites. 0091. I run a bar. All of my bartenders are 25 and younger. Not a chance in hell a single one of them would know four fingers of scotch.
Oh, crap.
Thank you.
That is a big pile of poop.
And I'm sure that's a great establishment, too, because y'all keep it 100. You know what's frustrating about the Enron back to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily
David Johnson, for those who don't know.
The Enron online.
I have to narrate
the markets.
It's not necessarily that I would take probably 90% of the starting running backs in the NFL over him. It's that I honestly think I would take 75% of the backup running backs.
Just 75?
I'm trying to be nice.
I know.
I'm trying to be nice. He's a nice guy. Including Jamal Williams, a friend of In the Loop, on Sunday with the Green Bay Packers. I love Jamal Williams. I think he's funny. I would like to smoke a blunt with Jamal Williams. And I feel like Jamal Williams, based on his interviews, would be down for that. Here's a little taste of yet another backup running back I would rather have than Jamal Williams. And my gosh, the phone lines are lighting up on this four-finger thing. This is Jamal Williams talking about the movie Frozen. We know Jack Easterby likes to quote the movie Frozen. Jamal Williams likes to see the movie Frozen. Let's just smoke a little with the backup running back for the pack. We've started the segment drinking. Let's puff a little with Jamal Williams.
I love it. I love it all. The rain, because I think the rain slows everybody else down. So I feel like, I feel like a mermaid. I feel like a mermaid and everybody else like dogs swimming. You know what I mean? So I be feeling like I'm just fluent out there. So I think it's the rain. I feel like SpongeBob.
What was it like playing in the elements today with the snow coming down?
No, I felt great. I felt like I was in Frozen. Frozen 2. I haven't seen it yet. Is it out yet?
No, it's not.
Oh, I can't.
Actually, yeah, it had a premiere.
Is it?
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to go see that movie.
But I'm ready for it, though. I'll be like the first one in line, pushing kids out the way. Like, yes, I'll be screaming and stuff.
Jamal Williams is the dude that walks in the theater with the sunglasses on at Frozen when all the kids
baked.
Are waiting in line.
Baked.
Just chilling. Just chilling. He loves that weather, too. It's too bad that they don't open the roof because he likes all types of weather. Here's Jamal Williams as we puff with Jamal talking about the types of weather that he enjoys.
They said mermaid. I just say mermaid activated. So as soon as the rain came, it felt good. As soon as it started snowing, it felt better. And then it went back to rain a little bit. So it was just like a good overall day of everything. Like one day I felt like SpongeBob for a minute, right? Then it started snowing. Felt like Frozen. I was like, all right, here we go. Olaf time. Then it went back to raining. So then I felt like SpongeBob, you know what I mean? The Goofy Goober type. When he was drying up and you know he had that little drop of like that before he turned into, you know what I mean? That's how I felt.
He loves him some SpongeBob. He knows every detail.
He's really good. And I wish he were here because I think he would handle Mark Berman like I think most normal people should handle Mark Berman. This is a little taste of how Jamal Williams, my smoking buddy, and Aaron Rodgers, my drinking buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wannabe. I got to make that clear. Would handle Mark Berman. I think this is a little taste of it. This is how he handled the Green Bay version of Mark Berman.
How encouraged are you by the commitment to the run now that the weather's turned a little bit and you just get the feeling that this is the time of year with the weather conditions and cold that a little bit more is going to be put on your guys' plate? No?
I kind of got confused. I ain't going to lie to you. Halfway through your question, I stopped listening.
Oh, my goodness. Jamal Williams is a backup running back, right?
Yeah.
And what did you say? You'd take 75%?
At least. of the backup backs.
So what's 75% of 32?
Now you're just putting me on the spot. Yeah. Is that, what's that like?
Because I'm going to go through these running
24,
backs.
24.
Is that right?
Yeah, 24.
Tell me, if let's keep track of these. And you tell me if you would have this backup over David Johnson.
Go ahead.
DeAndre Swift.
Yes.
Jamal Williams.
Yes.
Duke. Well, we won't say Duke Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. We will say Duke Johnson. Nyheim Hines.
Yes.
Chris Thompson. He's the backup in Jacksonville.
No.
Le'Veon Bell.
Come on.
Joshua Kelly, backup in Chargers.
Yes.
Malcolm Brown.
Of course.
Jalen Richard. Vegas.
Rashard.
Rashard, my bad, yeah.
Yes.
Matt Breida, Dolphins.
Yes.
Alexander Mattison, Vikings.
Oh, hell yeah. They drafted the water polo tight end instead of him.
Yeah. Damian Harris, Patriots.
Yes.
Deion Lewis.
Yes.
Latavius Murray.
Yes.
LaMichael Perrine, Jets.
P. Ryan. Nah, I haven't seen enough of him. He's from Florida.
Boston Scott, Philadelphia.
I haven't seen enough of him.
Benny Snell.
Yes. By the way, water polo tight end over him, too.
Yep. Carlos Hyde.
Duh.
Jerick McKinnon, Niners.
Yes.
Leonard Fournette.
Yes.
Darrington Evans, Titans.
Yes, he's young. He can move.
J.D. McKissick, Washington football team.
Nah.
I think we hit 75%.
Already?
There are 75% of the backups in the NFL.
Oh, gosh.
That you would take over David Johnson.
Yeah, I wasn't exaggerating. I wasn't lying to you. Man. 713-572-4610. Lighting up with Jamal Williams has me remembering the days in Atlanta when I was talking to Dante Fowler, outside linebacker, formerly of the Rams. And we were talking about Deshaun Watson. Let's hear from Dante Fowler, my alleged smoking buddy.
Oh, man.
These people. Here's Dante Fowler talking about Deshaun.
Oh, man, he's so good. When I look at him, for some odd reason, I think of Peter Pan. I don't know why,
Peter Pan?
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, he just always bouncing and, you know, like, fighting people off of him. You know, he's very tough. You know, defenders always want to hit him so hard because he runs and he breaks a lot of tackles. It's like water, but, you know, he's
like Fiji water.
Like Fiji water.
There are some dudes that love the ganja, man.
Shout out to my man Dante. Yep. Had a grill going, too. 713-572-4610. We'll hear from Romeo in 10 minutes before the Texans take on the Pack or begin preparation, at least. But we got to get to the bottom of this four-finger thing. There's a lot of people being honest on the text line. There's a lot of people lying about this four-finger thing that Aaron Rodgers talks about. Let's go to Lucas real quick. Lucas, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's up, players? I've been in the club business for 22 years in Houston, man. And, like, if you go out on a Sunday fun day, nobody's using four fingers. It's more like specialty scotch bars and
bad and bougie. You know, just say it, Lucas. Bad and bougie.
Bad and bougie, bro.
Thank you, Lucas. Bad and bougie. Exactly.
Nope.
Exactly.
Nope.
Exactly. I'm a man of the people. Lopez is bad and bougie. Ain't so no one funny using the four fingers. Let's go to Larry. Larry, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. So I bartended for about 22 years, managed, worked in clubs, and my forte was scotch bars and martini bars. So I worked in Dallas, Austin, Houston, and no, there's no four fingers.
Thank you.
Say a double thank you. Or three fingers, and that actually is like a four finger.
Thank you, Larry.
Oh, but he said they do use the fingers.
Thank you,
Larry.
He
just said they didn't. He's never heard the four fingers. But, yeah, you do say two fingers, three fingers.
That's terrible.
Aaron Rodgers went four fingers.
Why can't you just say single or double? Ricardo, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Okay, man. I grew up in the Rio Grande Valley, and this goes back a long time ago. There was only the only thing I heard about four fingers was a baggie. If you knew Poncho had bags for sale for four fingers for $25, there's where you were going. About drinks, I don't know anything about drinks. But, okay. You know, you got a three-finger bag, that
see, he's talking yeah, about the,
like an ounce.
The Marahucci?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. See? Man of the people. Lopez, bad and bougie.
Nope.
You know what's up with you?
713-572-46. And let's hear from Romeo Crennel. Romeo Crennel answered a lot of important questions. And he was also asked about a question that I don't even know why he was being asked. We'll hear from Romeo Crennel coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.